You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter before we get to our friend and colleague Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, which I highly encourage you to check out Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Network. Mm-hmm. It is time.
It is time.
There's only 2 days left for our statewide text to win Break Into Spring contest. Your chance to pick up a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 in cash. Every entry gets you into the grand prize drawing, a brand new queen-size mattress set from Burlo Mattress. So get your phone, open up the Civic Media app, go down to the right, there's that little text button,
yep,
and text in the word radio, R-A-D-I-O. Radio is the word this hour. We are playing again for those Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets.
Good stuff.
They are really good seats. You and I were there.
Padded.
They're padded. You have your own little special bathroom access.
I know.
Very important to me.
Carpeted floors.
Carpeted floors. They're really, really nice seats. And the Brewers have won a couple of games.
Yeah.
So text in the word radio right now. R-A-D-I-O. Radio is the word to text in by noon today to be in the running for those Brewers tickets. You can be in it just like Terry, listening on WAUK. We have Charles from Milwaukee, Kirk from Eau Claire, Michelle, Wisconsin Rapids, Amanda from Madison. They keep coming in. I love it. I know. Helene from Muscadet and Steve from Milwaukee and Aaron from Madison. Radio is the word. Text it in right now via the Civic Media app, R-A-D-I-O. As we said, Jim Santel, our friend and colleague from Amicus, a law review, is joining us now. Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Jane, always a pleasure with you and Greg and Calvin. Another historic day. We've had so many of those in American history, but yet another big day in American history, American legal history at least, and for other reasons as well.
Yeah.
Got those tariffs going on apparently too that are just causing international mayhem. But aside from that,
It's all good. Yes.
It's all in a day's work. I'm not even paying attention
Nothing to see here. Let's talk briefly, Jim, about the Wisconsin election on Tuesday with Susan Crawford moving on now. She will become Justice Crawford as she joins the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And a lot of people have been giving shout outs to Brad Schimmel for accepting the results. I was a little snarky yesterday, but yes, okay, good job. Eh. The bar is so low.
The bar is so low, Jim. Right? Under normal circumstances, as late as, even in Calvin's lifetime, which is more limited than mine certainly is, but we always remember a time when there was no doubt that this sort of thing simply happened. You lost an election. Yes, if it was incredibly close, you might ask for a recount.
Right.
If it was within tens, maybe hundreds of votes. But the notion that somehow it is news, and it is news, it's good news, that an unsuccessful candidate for any position calls the successful candidate, concedes, congratulates, and then, yes, as Judge Schimmel, former Attorney General Schimmel, did, say, you know what, we lost today, we live for another day. You can say that as well. It is a stunning indictment of our time. Not what he said. That's the appropriate thing.
Right.
But they were commenting on it and saying, oh, my goodness, look at this. Here is a candidate who's accepting the results, especially, I would note, from a campaign, his, and here I will be critical, that allied itself, himself, with others, including the President of the United States of America, and the vice president, who have done nothing but said for the past 5 years that we don't have to accept the results of any elections, that they're all the products of fraud. It is, I'll say with a small r, refreshing 2 days after this, that we have got a bit of normalcy, a kernel of normalcy returning, and Brad Schimler appropriately saying to his crowd that wanted him apparently to contest this, he said, no, we're not going to pull this off. He said, we're accepting this result. We're living for another day. It is a small acknowledgement that maybe some civics still work in America.
And that was, for me, yesterday why I wanted to give some credit to him. What you just said, Jim, is that had he just been a regular candidate, and well, if he was a regular candidate, none of this would have happened. But the fact that he had just tied himself toe tightly to the MAGA movement, the fact that he didn't call for fraud or a recount or shake his fist, I was shocked. So that's why I was like, huh, good job, Brad.
Right. For what it's worth, for those of your listeners or viewers who are online, I save all of the things that end up on my door, and you've seen these before. And again, at the interest of maybe doing a little bit of critical review here, one of the very first ones, again, this comes from a campaign that also, again, not only tied itself directly to our president here, but also did all these things that are really bad civics as well, right? Yeah. Talking about how anyone, including him, who would be on the Supreme Court, can affect the southern border. What? On the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Can establish safer cities. No, that's a municipal thing for common councils to do. Sensible spending, that's the legislature. That's the county board. Has nothing to do with the Supreme Court. Again, a campaign that attempted to undermine our fundamental notions of civics. A bit refreshing, as Greg and you have just said, that at least on this point, we're getting some clarity. And it's a lesson. It's a lesson for others in 2026 and beyond. We already have, again, here's the next news, of course. We're going to do this again next year, 2026. Rebecca Bradley, not Ann Walsh Bradley, Rebecca Bradley is up for election. She has already made some very, very, I think, inappropriate comments about the new member of the court who's going to join her. I recognize that that's maybe the world we live in, but it is not a world that the Supreme Court justices themselves should embrace, making those kinds of comments.
Well, and we talked about that last hour, Jim, before you joined us. And if you missed it, Rebecca Bradley essentially said, Susan Crawford ran a disgusting campaign, and I am not looking forward to working with her. And she is completely bought and paid for by the Democratic Party, which made me do a spit take after Elon just shelled out more than $20 million in this race to try to get Schimmel on the court. That's, look up irony, people. Just look up the definition of irony. You might learn something.
No, they won't.
Absolutely. And look up, again, the tradition, which has been on the Supreme Court. There have always been, obviously, winners and losers when it comes to elections. We have seen those very recently. Here's what you say, Justice Bradley. What you say is, like all Wisconsinites, I voted for a candidate. I'm not going to tell you who that was. I look forward to working with all of my partners, my colleagues, my associate justices in delivering justice to the people of Wisconsin. Are we going to disagree? Yes, we are. But we're going to have a civilized and thoughtful and legal-based discussion about those things. I'm not going to make these ad hominem attacks. I am going to welcome my new member and make this, a civics lesson about how this should work.
Yep.
And she didn't do that. Decidedly go in the opposite direction.
And assuming, I'm assuming she thinks she will be rewarded for that as well, because that does seem to be the kind of behavior and the kind of rhetoric that is embraced. And this is a throwaway, but I was reminded earlier this morning, listening to Pat Kreitlow on Up North News Radio, that Rebecca Bradley said in the past that feminists are all man-hating lesbians. So I'm going to have to tell my husband when I get home, because he's going to be very surprised by that.
Right.
Anyway.
And this is the other, that's the other part of this. It should be a part of the next election. Putting aside these recent comments and those kinds of things, there is an awful lot. There's a huge record here for Rebecca Bradley, as there is for all of the justices now. And that should be the focus of this coming election. It shouldn't be attempting once again to ally yourself with the president or others out there in some non-civic space. teach the Wisconsin population what the Supreme Court does and focus on that. Talk about what you have done. And let's all decide on her candidacy based upon those merits, nothing else.
I love that you're holding up those mailers and those doorknob things. Those things are so big, you could wallpaper that whole wall behind you with those things. They're enormous.
I've got about 20 of these. I purposely saved them. This was the first one. It's the one that I find most offensive,
yeah,
because it's really saying, candidly, again, this is an attack. This is criticism of Brad Schimmel, which I think is legitimate. It's basically saying that I believe, that is, I, the candidate, believe that the citizenry, I will use the word, is so stupid and so uninformed and so lacking in knowledge about what the Supreme Court does, that you think if we elect me, I'm going to affect southern border immigration policy. I'm assuming by putting this on my door that you're saying to me, you don't know anything about government. You don't know how the state system works, the federal system works. I'm counting on that for your vote. Oh my, how cynical is that?
We talked about this yesterday. There was an operative who came out and said, we figured by trying to give money away, by trying to make it a big game show, by doing all this stuff. And I said, this means you were calling us stupid, that we're too stupid to understand the process, and we're not. Wisconsin came out, and I want to, and we told them thanks, but no thanks to these millionaire dudes who are like, I want this.
Yeah.
Goodbye. See ya.
Well, exactly. And I think, again, I think it was Wisconsin. We can see carpetbaggers coming. We saw it with Eric Hovde. We saw it with Tim Michaels. It's like, yes, great, you're rich, good for you, go away.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Right. When we return, we're going to continue our conversation with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. There was a great exchange yesterday between Senators Ted Cruz and Amy Klobuchar. There have been numerous rulings against Donald Trump and some of his extrajudicial or just kind of... That's not
or
your
illegal.
Yeah, it could be illegal.
He's moonlighting as a judge.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. We're going to talk about that when we return. Stay close. Text in the word radio, by the way, RADIO before noon. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in Austria if you have the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're going to continue our conversation with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. Great show Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. You will learn so much. But before we get back to our conversation, this is the hour. And that's the second last day.
The penultimate day.
Oh, good word.
Oh, that word.
Penultimate. Our statewide text to win break into spring contest. The word this hour is radio. RADIO. The word this hour, radio. We're playing for Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. They are great seats. And then everyone who enters will be in the grand prize drawing for a brand new queen size mattress set from Verlo Mattress. So you have until noon. Text it in right now via the Civic Media app, radio, RADIO, and you'll be in the running just like Joel from Rothschild, or Tom from Hartford, or Nate from Durand. Oh, I love seeing these names come in. Sid from Ridgeway, and so many, many more. Good luck. Radio is the word this hour, RADIO.
Really want to get someone from Butternut.
I know. I just like knowing Butternut, Wisconsin exists. It just makes me happy. I love the name. I do. So, Jim, I want, in the remaining time that we have, to talk about this little exchange between Senators Ted Cruz and Amy Klobuchar from yesterday. Ted Cruz, of course, the judiciary who's ruling against Donald Trump, they're all just, it's lawfare. This is their next, there's their new favorite word now is lawfare. Calvin, let's play this clip. This is an edited clip of the exchange between Ted Cruz and Amy Klobuchar.
Democrats today hate democracy. Democrats today are angry at the voters for re-electing Donald Trump and electing a Republican Senate and a Republican House, and they engaged in lawfare to stop democracy from operating.
Okay, that was a lot. let me start with a few things. Number one, we love the democracy, and I believe what we should be having is a civil debate about how we can best, if Donald Trump wants to make changes to the government, we should be doing it in a legal way.
That'd be nice.
Not how he's doing it. And the only reason there's all these injunctions, Senator Cruz, is because he's violating the Constitution. I am making the strong case that the reason all these cases have been filed and the reason that these judges who have been appointed by Ronald Reagan, yes, they still exist, and the Bushes and Donald Trump, judges appointed by Donald Trump, have been making these decisions is because this is not legal. Donald Trump himself has used his social media account, the White House account, to post an image of himself wearing a crown saying, "Long live the king." The issue is that we do not live in a kingdom, and Elon Musk is not his court jester.
Well, he kind of.
Ours is a nation of laws in which no one is above the law. That is why 39 different judges from vastly different backgrounds, appointed by 5 different presidents, have made clear that these are illegal actions.
That last line should be like on a flag somewhere. Yeah. That's amazing wrap up.
But I think it's so important, Jim, that people understand, because they're all Obama and Clinton and liberal justices. That's not true. Just like when all of his back to 2020 and the election was stolen and those more than 60 court cases that were all rejected. These were all kinds of different judges, including Trump appointees.
Absolutely. And Amy Klobuchar has got it just right, not only in terms of where they come from, and recognize, too, that all of these judges, Senator Cruz, were also approved advice and consent. Remember this, Senator Cruz, and the Constitution by what body? The United States Senate, that put their imprimatur on democratically nominated judges and Republicans. It is unfortunate, Jane and Greg, that we end up even identifying. I end up doing it as well, just because people want to know this information. Who appointed you?
Right.
Well, the reality is what it's behind Amy Klobuchar's wonderful comments. They're all appointed, number one, for life. We can debate whether that's good or bad. That's in our Constitution. What is the good reason? What did Alexander Hamilton and John Jay say about that? The reason why they're appointed for life is because we're going to remove politics from them. Unless they engage in very bad behavior, we're asking them to abide by their oath of office. It says the Constitution, the laws, the principles of our nation, that's your boss. And you're not beholden to any political party. This is not lawfare inside the judiciary, outside the judiciary. These decisions, as you just so articulately said, as Amy Klobuchar has said, are made by judges who have one commitment. And many of them, frankly, again, some of the Republican appointed judges are asking out loud, who's standing around next to the president in the Oval Office? Who's telling him that these things, that birthright citizenship passed in the wake of what? The Civil War, when we wanted to ensure that this great population of newly emancipated people had a place in this country? That was the very reason for passing the 14th Amendment. And now we're going to say that, well, if you were born here, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
all those kinds of things. The judges across the board know that. That's what we're hearing.
Well, and that's like due process. Yes, due process is part of our legal system. You don't just get to snatch someone off the street and send them to a prison overseas, never to be seen again. That's what sets America apart.
That, exactly. And that's why today, one of the historical things that's happening, I think almost as we speak now, James Boasberg, who's got another hearing on whether or not the executive branch frankly violated his orders, saying to keep those Venezuelans here, others again being snatched off the streets, as we've seen in Tufts, Columbia, other students, that sort of thing. It's all about that. And judges have not only the obligation, but actually the commitment, the oath commitment, to ensure that due process, which is also, it's Fifth Amendment, it's 14th Amendment, it's the key of our entire system. They apply that across the board. There's no fair, F-A-R-E, lawfare at all in this. We are instead simply upholding the Constitution. And that's what we do in America. We do not engage in violent behavior. If I don't like something that Greg is doing, what do? He takes me to court. I run into court with him. We get this neutral arbiter to decide the case. That's what's going on.
Jim Santel hosts Amicus, a law review every Saturday, 9 to 11 across the network. Please check it out. It is fantastic. Jim, thank you so very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, my friends. We'll see you again soon.
Take care.
Thanks,
news
Jim.
Is next when we return. All things sports. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here. Text in the word radio, R-A-D-I-O, before noon via the Civic Media app. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is underway, our statewide text to win contest. The word you want to text in before noon, we're playing for some Brewers Club level tickets. You want to text in the word radio via the Civic Media app, R-A-D-I-O. Text in the word radio using the Civic Media app before noon today, and you will be in the running for those great Brewers tickets, just like Tom from Sun Prairie, Brennan from Madison. We got Sue Ann from Wausau and so many more. Text in the word radio, R-A-D-I-O, before noon today. Not only are you in the running for those great Brewers tickets, but you could pick up the grand prize, a brand new queen-size mattress set from Verlo Mattress. He joins us every Tuesday to talk all things sports. J.R. Radcliffe is here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Brewers have won a couple.
They did.
We did.
Two in
it.
A row.
I know. After, come on, they got... The beginning, the first couple games, they were shellacked. It was painful.
Yeah, we know.
I'm not trying to belabor it. What happened with the big that they actually came back and won a couple?
So yeah, they had a couple. They had a couple good results in a row. I would maybe not point to Wednesday's win as the the paradigm of great Brewers baseball. It wasn't awesome. It was. Like some not bad base running, but just like not being able to come through in pretty easy scoring situations a couple times. And they were able to win on a walk-off bunt. Love it when the small ball comes through and you're not hitting the ball at all. The little dink up the first baseline and it turns into a winning run. They pulled it off. They had some good defense, which is to win two out of three against Kansas City, win the series. So not bad. They got a really nice pitching performance the night before from a guy named Chad Patrick, who right now is their number fifth starter out of necessity because they are missing so many starting pitchers with injury. And we found out this week they are going to lose another one with Aaron Civale going on the injured list after his first performance in New York. So they have been snake bitten. Every team gets this to some degree. The Brewers maybe a little bit than normal, but you know, none of the I don't think it's maybe dramatically worse than what other teams are facing. It's just it is happens to be hitting their starting pitching depth right now. Chad Patrick was awesome. He went 4 2/3, didn't give up a run in his first big league start. He's a guy from Indiana. This is his first big league season. He had made an appearance in relief against the Yankees, but then really got to sink his teeth into an outing on Tuesday night and had a really good start. Actually was not feeling well. He said he told me yesterday he was about 80% maybe for that start. So had like 300 people here from Hebron, Indiana, which is where he's from.
Kinda, on
the fringes of the Chicago metro up in Northwest Indiana. And it was pretty cool. He said he felt like it was like he was back in high school because he'd walk off and all of these familiar faces and people are cheering for him. And I mean, the guy was awesome. So that's probably the best story of the first few games. Brewers are 2-4. They're not markedly off the pace from other teams yet. And they still have a chance to right the ship. And we saw some really good pitching from Freddie Peralta on Wednesday. So that's really, really encouraging. Two really good starts in a row for him to start the year.
That's been the consistent thing I've been hearing is that Freddie Peralta is really shining even from the very beginning of it, and which is important because I feel like everyone's got their fingers crossed for Freddie every year to have a great season. And we want him to just be – we all know he's really good, and then he falters. Like, all players falter. And I'm not a baseball player, so I'm not saying I'm better. But there's something about Freddie that when he does really well – we just feel good.
Yeah, he, you know, I think it's, I always make this comparison to parenting. It's like just at the moment where you stop caring if you ever sleep again, that's when you start sleeping again. Just at the moment you stop thinking Freddie Peralta actually could be that superstar pitcher,
You've
kind of forgotten that that's even on the table. And he's like, well, he's their best pitcher, but you know, he's limited. Well, he looked like an absolute dude the first two outings of the year, particularly in this game. On Wednesday, he went 8 innings. He has done that one other time in his career. That was back in 2019. In fact, he's only gone a full 7 innings like 5 times since then.
I mean,
out of like almost 100 starts, 99 starts. So that's unusual for him. He's not a guy who works deep in games, and he's not consistent. He's pretty good in stretches. He'll have an inning where he just shuts you down and then he gives up 3 hits the next inning or, you know, loses control and walks people. He hasn't walked a single batter in 2 outings yet this year, and that is including against the Yankees when he gave up 2 home runs in that game, but they were – one of them would not have left literally any other ballpark. This is pretty easy to track. You can track like where it lands. Yeah. If any other ballpark would have allowed that to be a home run, only the Yankees short porch in right field.
Yep.
Does that happen? The other one I think would have left maybe 8 or 9 other parks, but it was not, it was also kind of cheap. So, you know, allowing a couple of deep fly balls that are caught in most ballparks is not an indictment. I mean, he is looking really good. And if he is this guy, that changes the calculus a little bit. I mean, the Brewers, I would say, don't really have one guy that like, oh, you need a win. This guy's going to get the ball and you're going to get 6 to 7 shutdown innings. This was their problem. I mean, problem, I say in quotes, because they were really good, but relievers had to carry so much of the load since they were really good, had really good starters in 2021. Relievers have really had to step up and fill that gap, especially last year where you didn't have a guy that could reliably go 7 or 8 innings. You just did not have that. And 7 or 8, reliably 7 or 8, that's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like, but even to get 7 innings every once in a while is something you need from a starter. The Brewers really didn't have that last year, and maybe they do with Freddie. That would be really, really a huge development for them.
Going back to that pitcher that just came up from Indiana, I always think of Bull Durham, and you're going to the show. You're going to the show. That must really be a thrill because these are young men, right?
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, He was a guy who he was a fourth round draft pick once upon a time by the Diamondbacks, but not a top flight prospect. And then last year, the Brewers acquired him in the offseason in a minor trade. And last year he was sensational. He was in AAA Nashville, and he won what's called the AAA Triple Crown for pitchers. He led both AAA leagues. He led everybody in wins. He was like 14-1 in strikeouts and ERA among pitchers who threw a certain amount. So he was sensational. But it wasn't obvious, you know, as far as his prospect pedigree goes, it wasn't obvious that he would get added to the 40-man roster this offseason. They had a couple options and they went with him. And I think it wasn't a slam dunk. It was like, oh, that's interesting. That's maybe not where I thought they were going to go. And he was all packed up, ready to go back to Indiana on his way to Nashville to start the year again. The Brewers had their roster. It was set. All these injuries started to sink in, and they called him on his way back to his apartment to pack, and they were like, stick around.
Wow.
We're going to need you. One of those great stories, and then he delivers in this first big league start. We're really, really cool.
Well, and we wish him well. I really hope he has a great season. That's got to be life-changing. Yeah.
And he's going to be here for a while because it's not like the pitchers are coming back tomorrow.
Right.
Nestor Cortez is about to leave the team to for the birth of a child. So that'll be a short, you know, a short absence. But still, like, the Brewers right now have two starting pitchers that you would have thought would start the team in Freddy Peralta and Nestor Cortez. And Nestor Cortez was really bad in his first start. So he pitches again tonight. We'll see how that goes against the Reds. But, you know, they need people like Chad Patrick, who can even go 5-6 innings. They need bodies right now. Yeah. He's up to the task, it seems like.
Well, and the other thing, too, with Freddy Peralta going 8 innings, that is almost unheard of in Brewers organization, let alone the MLB. Yeah. And, I mean, would be unheard of in the Craig Council years. I mean, he would have been out like 4 innings before that, or maybe 7.5 innings, depending how Craig was feeling that day. But can we talk about the bats for a moment?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The bats that the Yankees can – okay, so I haven't had time to really look at this because a world's happening. But – the Yankees were using a type of bat against the Brewers in the opener. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, they're the only team using these bats. And what's special about them is the size of the bat and where the strength is concentrated on the item itself.
So, yeah, the bat looks like it's bulging a little bit. If you look at the end of the bat, it's like, and the way it was explained is it just concentrated more of the wood in the area that contacts the ball. Why wouldn't you do that? So, it looks completely illegal, but it turns out, you know, I learned a lot of things here. It first of all, not illegal, totally fine. They had, nothing gets more scrutinized than pro sports equipment, you know, in terms of like, how can we get an advantage out of this and yet stay within the bounds? So what I also learned is that these are not brand new this year. There were teams experimenting with them last year, teams besides the Yankees. Other teams have, certainly the Yankees have, because they had such a sensational first series against the Brewers and hit 17 home runs in a series, which Brewers have never allowed that before. So they kind of got on the radar, and now other teams, even the Brewers, are trying to order some, you know, like I think right now a lot of people think maybe this can help them. So just a quirky little innovation.
Yeah.
Time will tell if this dramatically alters anything. It might, it could. It could be one of those things that sticks. I think we'll probably discover that it's only here and there that you see it, and it's not really something that ultimately changes. I mean, Aaron Judge, who hit 4 home runs in that series and is, you know, one of the best, if not the best power hitter in baseball, he did not use one of those bats.
Yeah.
So he's just fine. but yeah, we'll see what the staying power is. I have a feeling this is one of those things people forget about over time, that it just happened, you know, beginning of the season and some success, and like everyone's talking about it, but we'll see. We'll see where this goes.
If you're just joining us, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here to talk all things sports. Let's talk a little bit about the Bucks, who are also struggling.
They are, and they did just get a much, much needed victory a couple nights ago. And the good news for the Bucks is that there is a really light schedule ahead. There are teams on their immediate schedule here that absolutely do not want to win basketball games. They are out of the picture. They want to improve their stock for the lottery for the upcoming NBA draft.
Oh, interesting.
And they want, you know, teams want Cooper Flagg from Duke. They want nothing to do with winning games. Not to say that they won't be competitive and go out there and compete. They're not going to, like, throw the game. But you're not going to see guys that realistically can compete with players on the Bucks. So they've got the 76ers. That's tonight. They got the Pelicans coming up, who are in the same boat. They got a Heat team that is not in that boat, but has actually been very good lately, but is not generally very good. So they should be able to make some hay and get back into the race. Right now, they have fallen to the number 6 seed in the East. They cannot fall below that, or they will be in what's called the play-in tournament part. You know, the play-in tournament to get into the main part of the playoffs. That's just not where you want to be. Furthermore, being in 6th spot is already bad because it means you're going to face the Knicks in the first round, the number 3 seed. The Knicks have torched the Bucks this year. The Knicks will torch the Bucks again if we get into the postseason. The Knicks are markedly better than the Bucks, and the Bucks do not have Damian Lillard right now. So they really want to move up to the 5, because if you get up to the 5, you can maybe hang with whoever is in the 4, probably the Pacers. Maybe you can win a series without Damian Lillard, although there is some news that he could be back sooner than we thought. And maybe then you can, like, build on that, get healthy, and actually give a run of, you know, a run to somebody, one of those top 2 seeds like the Celtics or the Cavaliers. But they need victories. They need to pile them up. They need to get out of this situation that they're in, because they have just fallen like a rock. It's been real tough.
Calvin, any thoughts on this? You are our biggest Bucks fan. Who follows it? You follow it the more most closely.
Well, I don't have any particular thoughts on the Bucks. They're not doing well. What I will say about the Knicks, though, I think, while I don't want to play them and I wouldn't feel confident that the Bucks could get them, as it approaches the end of the season for them, they're usually kind of a ticking time bomb for injuries. Tom Thibodeau, their coach, is known for extremely high usage rates with all his star players. They're among the highest, have among the most minutes in the entire league. So they have more wear and tear than a lot of teams.
This is true, although I would say that it's a little different this year because Jalen Brunson, who is their best player, has been hurt, has missed, I want to say, a month at this point, early March, and he is about to come back. So he will be presumably rested, although possibly still a little hurt, who knows. But it's not going to be maybe quite the same with Brunson coming back. Even, I mean, especially if we're talking first round before maybe the fatigue kicks in, the Bucks are kind of sitting ducks. They need to get somehow to full strength if they're even going to try to have a hope against New York. And that involves Damian Lillard coming back from a blood clot. And, you know, there's some talk that, again, that could happen sooner rather than later. But, like, that is a dicey, dicey proposition. I would not want to rely on Damian Lillard coming back for the playoffs.
I just feel like at this point, the way everyone talks about them, it's like this is not going
to happen.
This is not the season. And it was disappointing because it felt like we had to do the same thing last year. And the same thing the year before that. And now we're just at the point where it's like, where are we with the Bucks?
Yeah.
Read him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. J.R. Radcliffe, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru, joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Next time, we'll get around to the tush push, which I thought was a dance and is actually a football play. We'll discuss that later. Thanks a lot, J.R. Appreciate it. Stay close. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing on the other side, the Gobble Gobble edition. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, just under 8 minutes to text in the word radio, R-A-D-I-O. Text in the word radio via the Civic Media app. It is all part of our statewide text to win break into spring contest. This hour, we're playing for some really nice seats, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. If you text in the word radio before noon, R-A-D-I-O, and then everyone who enters will be in the drawing for a brand new queen size mattress from Verlo Mattress. So text in the word radio, R-A-D-I-O, and good luck. Your next chance in the 1 o'clock hour with a wonderful and our friend Todd Alba, and then in the 4 p.m. hour with Dom Salvia. But right now, the word is radio. Send it in, like Kate from Hayward, or Tim from Park Falls, or Liz from Sun Prairie. Oh, I love this.
Wow, look at all this.
Steve from La Crosse. And Butternut, somewhere out there.
Somewhere.
There's someone from Butternut who is listening.
You can't tell me that there isn't a person within the confines of the municipality of Butternut who hasn't texted this show.
Louise from Kewaunee and Jim from Germantown. Thank you for all your entries. Text in the word radio, R-A-D-I-O. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Randy Manner, retired Major General, will be joining us at 10:30. Signal Gate. Yeah. As much as the Republicans would like it to go away, it hasn't gone away. And as a matter of fact, influencer Laura Loomer.
Do we call her that?
Laura Loomer was at the White House today.
Yeah.
Met with Donald Trump. And he has apparently gotten rid of 10 people from the National Security Council in the wake of Signalgate per her recommendations.
Whatever.
But we're going to talk to Randy Manner about the whole Signalgate and how communications are supposed to happen when there is a military action that is going to be coming. That's typically not something that you do on a platform that can get hacked.
I Snapchat all of my war ideas to the generals. They know it. They see it coming.
And then Dan Schaefer, of course, will be here from the Recombobulation Area in the 11 o'clock hour. And the Recombobulation Area, by the way, just picked up a whole bunch of awards from the Milwaukee Press Club.
Six.
Yeah. So if you don't subscribe yet, you really should. Dan and his friends and his co-authors, team, yeah. His team really do an incredible job. So join us tomorrow for Randy Manor and then Dan Schaefer. Right now, though, 11:54, Calvin, getting late. It is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. From UPI, Ben Hooper, that lucky guy.
He's our
our go-to guy.
I think I'm going to try to see if it's possible to get him on the show.
He should. Headline reads, wild turkeys chase mail carrier out of Massachusetts neighborhood. A Massachusetts mail carrier, this is from Tuesday, encountered an unusual job site hazard when he was chased through a neighborhood by wild turkeys, and all of it was caught on camera. Postal Service worker Wayne White struggle with the flock of fowl.
Nice, oh, Ben Hooper.
Ben was recorded by another home security camera. Quote, I've come close with dogs. I do a lot of stuff in Nantucket, so I see deer all the time. But this is my first time with turkeys. Once I got out, they came after me.
Yes.
You saw me defending with the box and whatnot. When I got to the step, I was like, okay, here we are. Got to get back. Make a run for it. White, the Postal Service employee, says the turkeys chased him out of the neighborhood. Every time I moved the truck, the turkeys followed. He said his encounter with the turkeys has given him a reputation. Quote, all day long, it's been gobble, gobble texts and turkey texts. And I just can't imagine what Thanksgiving is going to be like this year. We will include the video in the show notes so you can take a look yourself.
We did get an interview with one of the turkeys. They were quoted as saying, gobble, gobble, go socks, socks forever. Right. I just love the idea of wild turkey. I wish it just would have stopped at Massachusetts, like wild turkeys chase mail carriers out of Massachusetts.
There are, if you've ever had an encounter with a turkey, though, they're big birds. We have some in Wauwatosa. I was driving down North Avenue the other day.
Yeah.
Traffic was stopped waiting for these two gigundo turkeys to cross the street.
Shizu on the live stream said, there are turkeys in my neighborhood that require the Roosevelt, quote, walk softly and carry a big stick. Animals are mean people, Disney did us dirty.
We'll have David Drake on to talk about that sometime. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to two. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.